Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Stone Chapel, a podcast of the staff and friends of the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. My name is David Capes. I'm the Senior Research Fellow at the Library and your host for this series of podcasts. Our purpose is fairly simple. We want to bring to you great conversations with leading experts from around the world on biblical, theological, historical, and archaeological themes. Well, the list goes on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Joining me today on the Stone Chapel is Andy LePoe. He has been in publishing for years with InterVarsity Press. He's gotten a lot of people published, and he's kept them in publishing as well. He is himself a great writer, lives with his wife in the Chicago area. He's been teaching through the Gospel of Mark a number of years, and we're going to talk today about a terrific book that he's authored entitled Mark Through Old Testament Eyes, published by Kregel Academic in 2017. Andy, great to see you.
Hey, it's good to be with you, David.
Yeah, thanks for spending this time with us. All right, my signature question in getting started is, who is Andy LePoe?
Yeah.
How would you answer that?
Who is he?
Yeah, who is he? You've been working on that question for a while, probably.
That is true. That's very true. Yeah, I am. I've been in the publishing world all my career, and enjoyed it at InterVarsity Press for 20 years. The last part of my time at InterVarsity Press, I was focused on academic publishing, IVP Academic. I've been retired the last 5 years, and I have been doing some writing myself, including the book we're going to be talking about, Mark Through Old Testament Eyes, and some other things. And then I've been blogging as well at Andy Unedited, which I try to get something out every week or two on the world of publishing, writing, and life.
Well, we got to do a podcast one day on getting published, frankly. I mean, there are a lot of people who have great ideas, and it would be wonderful to hear from you on how they get published. So we'll put that away as a future idea. How about that?
Sounds good. I'd like that.
Yeah. Now, where are you from originally?
Originally Minnesota.
Okay.
Grew up in the land of 10,000 lakes.
Okay. And, did you do any fishing while you were up there?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I have great memories of trout fishing and eating trout. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this series that you're working with Kregel Academic, entitled Through Old Testament Eyes. What's the big idea of the series? What are you trying to do with the series?
Well, the big idea of the series is that the New Testament writers were Old Testament people. And we forget that they were immersed completely in an Old Testament world. The narratives, the stories, the images, the ideas of the Old Testament informed them. And Jesus comes along and rocks their world. But really, the only categories they've got for understanding what Jesus is about are Old Testament categories. And so Jesus helps reshape those things and reorient those ideas. But the starting material is still Old Testament. Mm. And so the idea of the series is to help unpack that Old Testament background in depth within each book of the Bible that the series addresses.
Well, you've done Mark Through Old Testament Eyes, and Karen Jobes has just published John Through Old Testament Eyes. Who else do you have working on the series?
Well, Tremper Longman, who is an Old Testament scholar, is working on the book of Revelation. And I said to him, I said, Tremper, nobody's probably ever offered to let you write a New Testament commentary. How would you like to do that? He jumped at the chance and said, well, Daniel is so important in informing Revelation that he'd love to do that. And he's done a great job, and that is in the works, and we hope to see that it will be out in 2022.
Okay. Will all the New Testament books be done, or are you just targeting a few?
Right now, we're targeting a few. We're still in discussions with Kriegel in terms of how far we want to go. But we should also mention that there's this fellow named David Capes who's also providing a volume in the series. I don't know if you know him, but
no, I don't. I've never met him. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, you really ought to. He's a great guy and an excellent scholar. So.
You're kind. Yeah, I've been working on this for a couple of years, and folks who follow the podcast know that we've had. Some things that have happened in our family life that have just slackened our pace, I guess we could say. But it's a great series. It's a great idea. I mean, you describe it as a background commentary. You describe it as an application commentary, as I think of it. So who is this commentary really for?
Yeah, it's targeted for preachers and teachers of the New Testament. It's not intended for scholars, though they are certainly welcome to read over the shoulder of the primary reader.
Sure.
But it's intended for people who want to find a new avenue into the scriptures. I've taught Mark for 15 years to college students, and the thing that struck me was that the aha moments came when we started engaging the Old Testament. Teachers love aha moments. I mean, they live for aha moments.
You do, right? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like you could see almost literally the light bulbs going on over everybody's head. As I said, well, you know, did you look up this Old Testament passage that I wrote up on the board? And, you know, they said, no. I said, okay, well, let's look at it now. And so they do. And then their faces just light up with, oh, I get it. And this is part of the big idea you talk about the series. You know, most people think the Old Testament is hard to understand and that it's confusing and obscure and that the New Testament is clear and it's easy to understand, relatively, you know, comparatively.
Comparatively.
But what we find out is that there are some really odd things in the New Testament that are very difficult to understand. But when you go to the Old Testament, it's like, oh, it's made clear. Mm. Now I get it. And so it's the Old Testament that is suddenly the clarifying dimension of our understanding.
You know, there are folks who do not read very much of the Old Testament. I mean, they sort of stick to the New Testament. And there's this idea that we need to unhitch. I've heard that term used, one from the other. But in fact, and I love the way you start the book and you quoted it about the New Testament writers or Old Testament people, their Bible was the Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. You know, everything that sort of informed their faith came right out of the Old Testament. And so I really appreciate your emphasis upon that and describing that and making that a part of the discussion throughout the commentary. Let me ask this. Is it a commentary that deals with every verse of the text?
Not necessarily every verse. It certainly would deal with every paragraph, every pericope that is there. And actually, when I started working on this, I had to kind of convince myself that such a commentary could be written. But as I got into it, it is the case that 95% of the text of the book of Mark certainly has some kind of Old Testament link that informs it. And it is just penetrates the whole warp and woof of the book. It penetrates the way the whole book is outlined, the whole structure of the book of the Gospel of Mark, as well as individual passages and episodes.
Well, let's talk about a couple of examples of places where you think that when you read it against this Old Testament background, that there's a richness, a value that's a value added to reading it just on face value.
Yeah.
So I think Mark chapter 1 comes to mind in our conversation. Tell us a little bit about that. Give us a little background and take us into that.
Well, Mark 1, of course, it starts with this conflation of passages from Isaiah and a couple other prophets. But then it also has this very, this is a small example, but it gives you an idea of how helpful the New Testament, the Old Testament can be. And that is, we quickly move to John the Baptist, And Mark says he wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is that there? That's just weird.
Right. Yeah. We're not told how Jesus dresses or what he has for breakfast, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't hear about that regarding anybody else, really. And so why John? And so I point students to 2 Kings 1, where the same description is offered of Elijah. And I'll point them to Zechariah 13:4, where it says, on that day, every prophet will be ashamed of their prophetic vision. They will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. Mm. And so what we find out is that this is a uniform that prophets wear. This is the kind of garb that by which they are identified. And so Mark is saying John is a prophet in the Old Testament tradition, and he should be understood at that level and in that vein.
And a lot of times the question comes, is John sort of a hinge figure between Old and New Testaments, right? Does he belong to the Old dispensation, to use mm-hmm. that term, or mm-hmm. to the New dispensation? And how would you read that?
I would say yes.
You're going to sit on the fence, in other words, right?
Yeah,
that's where I am. I sit on the fence.
Yeah. He belongs in both. Yeah, he's a hinge figure for sure.
Right.
And he is definitely, he absorbs that. But in a way, so is Jesus. Jesus is also a hinge figure between the old and the new.
Yeah.
And so, this is Mark's approach.
And you go on to comment as well about the locust and the honey. I mean, it's an interesting sort. Why does he tell us that, right? None of us. I've never eaten a locust. I've never, but it's a kosher. I mean, locusts are kosher according to the law, it's on the diet of Middle Eastern people. But mm-hmm. so it sounds odd to us, but it's not that odd within the social context of the day.
Right, and it identifies John again with Elijah within the Old Testament prophets, because he was told in 1 Kings 17 that to eat off the land, he was supposed to receive his provision from the land, and so again, it's this linkage between John and the Old Testament.
Yeah. And you mentioned the beginning of the gospel that starts with the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and then goes on to quote immediately Malachi 3, and I think it was Isaiah chapter 40. So the book mm-hmm. just begins with these very thick, important biblical scriptural accounts that in a sense set the tone for what's coming up, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so Mark is kind of saying from verse 2 and 3 on, you need to read this gospel through Old Testament eyes. If you want to understand what I'm trying to say here about this fellow named Jesus, that's how you need to do it.
There's another example we're going to talk about in chapter 6 of Mark. Tell us a little bit about the background of that.
Yeah, Mark chapter 6, it's the passage where Jesus sends the disciples off in the boat and he dismisses the people. And then he stays on shore and sees them on the lake struggling against the wind. And so he goes out walking on the lake. And he was about to pass by, but they start calling to him. They think it's a ghost, and they cry out, and they're terrified. And he says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid, and climbs on the boat, storm calms down.
Right.
And of course, when I teach, I say, well, what are your questions? You know, you read this passage, what are your questions? And inevitably, somebody will say, why was he going to pass by?
Exactly.
That seems so weird. I mean,
yes.
He went out there because he saw them struggling, and then why is he passing by? Doesn't he know they're in trouble, or doesn't he see them? What's going on? And again, the answer just brings such richness to this passage when we look into the Old Testament, because we remember, of course, when Israel was just released from Egypt, and they go into the desert, and they immediately start worshiping this golden calf, and God and Moses have this discussion about what's going to happen. And Moses, in the middle of this discussion, says, you know, I want to see your glory. Let me see your glory. And God says, okay, but you can only see the back of me. I'm gonna cover you up in a cleft of the rock, and I'm gonna pass by, and you can only just see my back, you know, my back. And that is what one of the suggestions here that I think Mark is making. God passes by Moses, and Jesus is passing by the disciples.
Yeah.
And there are other links where the same kind of pass by language is used in the Old Testament. When Elijah was on the mountain and he was frightened, there's a pass by part of that narrative as well. And Job also, in Job 9, says that when he's talking about the Lord, he says, when he passes by me, I cannot see him. Where he goes, I cannot perceive him. And then just a couple verses later, he talks about that God is the one who treads on the water. Mm-hmm. So all of this is a theophany. It's all trying to help us understand that the God of Abraham is somehow embodied in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that we need to see this. The story that we often hear, you've heard it, I've heard it, is that Mark has a low Christology,
right,
and John has a high Christology.
Right.
And of course, there's some truth to that. I mean, John deals with things in a very different way than the Synoptic Gospels. But Mark's Christology comes through his Old Testament references. I hesitate to say it's all.
It's
almost predominant. I mean, it's got to be almost all. Is through Old Testament links. Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom. God refers to himself as the bridegroom in the Old Testament. Jesus is the one who forgives sins. And a small thing is that in that episode with the four friends, Jesus, we focus in on, does Jesus have the authority to forgive sins? Is he, you know, doesn't only God have the authority?
Exactly. You're right. Yeah.
We slip past this little passage that says he knew what was in their minds.
Mm.
In his spirit, he understood what they were thinking. Yeah. Well, in the Old Testament, who reads minds? There's only one person
only one
in the Old Testament who can read
who
minds.
Knows who the thoughts of men, minds, right?
Who knows the thoughts of men, and that's God. So this is how Jesus, or this is how Mark portrays the Christology of Jesus through these Old Testament linkages.
So that sort of pattern of development from Mark from a low Christology to John with a high Christology doesn't exactly work quite as well as people had wanted at some point.
Right, right. I don't think that's a really helpful way of categorizing what's going on in either gospel, really.
So if people want to kind of follow this series and be aware of it, how can they do that? And how can they kind of get to know you just a little better?
Well, the series is published through Kriegel Academic, and so certainly they can find it there. They can find it on Amazon or any other bookseller, christianbook.com. It's available there, and both the books that are out and the one that's coming on Revelation through Old Testament Eyes by Tremper. And if they want to stay in touch with me, they can go to Andy Unedited, and you just Google Andy Unedited, and I think it's, you know, the first thing that'll pop up.
So apparently you don't have an editor. Do you need an editor? Is that what?
Well, everybody needs an editor.
Everybody needs an editor. Yeah.
And I've got hundreds of readers who act as my editor, because when I, you know, misspell a word, or, you know, I have
a grammatical goof,
they let me know, which is just fine.
That is
good. I don't mind
yeah.
that at all.
Yeah, that's called communal editing, I think.
Exactly.
Something like that. Well, it's a great book. You can find it at the Lanier Theological Library. We've got one or two copies, I'm sure, on the shelves. And we'd love to share that with you. Come by and study with it. If you're a pastor, church leader, interested in the Gospel of Mark, interested in kind of understanding how the Old Testament is just really a part of the texture of nearly every verse there, then this book is one that can help you do that. Andy LaPoe, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel.
David, I appreciate the invitation a lot.
Thanks to Brent Johnson and Janet Seifert for editing these podcasts. Thanks as well to Phil Keggy for our music. These podcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mark and Becky Lanier and the Lanier Theological Library Foundation. If you have questions, comments, or would just like to be in touch, please email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is L-A-N-I-E-R. Thanks for listening.